as we continue from this morning. We were looking at the call to suffer. Many times, whenever that suffering occurs, we are not individuals that like to suffer, even if it's for a good cause. We don't like pain. We don't like heartache. We don't like to be in despair. As we learned this morning, Peter had met Jesus, and Jesus had told him that he was going to call him by a different name because his name is truly Simon, which means shifting sand. And he'd been walking with Christ for some 3.5 years. And now, after Christ told everyone that they're all going to be scattered like sheep having no shepherd, Peter stands up and basically puts his foot in his mouth and says, "All of these other guys might do that, but I'll not do that because I'm Peter." And then Jesus told him a forecast of what was going to happen in the future. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." This is a passage that has been nailed to my heart. This is a passage that God has burned into my brain. Because I have gone through things that I know without the Lord's help, it would have been devastating. Many times, when individuals are going through trying times, I will go to this passage and try to show them through God's Word how this is something that is good for us. And if we truly believe that Christ loves us, that He died for us and wants what's best for us, then this has to be part of that. It has to be part of what He would call is good. Even though when we look and take our focus off of God and focus on self, we look at all the bad things that are happening and how it rips our lives apart and how it creates despair in our hearts. Jesus is telling Peter a forecast, and he knew that Jesus loved him and that Jesus was going to allow this to happen for a particular reason. See, we have things in our lives that don't line up with Almighty God. Would you agree to that? See, there are things in Craig's life, and there are attitudes in Craig's life that don't line up with Christ. And because of that, God will allow things to come in order to trim off the things that don't look like Christ. So that when He's all said and done, now those things are better in Craig's life. It's like Michelangelo, when he was carving an angel out of stone. An individual asked him, "Well, how do you do that? How do you carve this magnificent carving, stone carving?" He says, "I just chisel away everything that doesn't look like an angel." That's what Christ does in our lives. That's what God does in our lives, is He takes all of those things out of our lives that are unnecessary. All of those things that don't line up with who He is. God calls us to a position of leadership because He wants us to have an influence in people's lives. And the only way that we can have influence in people's lives is if God does something in their life through us. That's the only way that it happens. So if we are trying to minister and there are more things in our life that look like the world than the things that look like God, we will not be able to be used as effectively, and that's the key word, as effectively as God desires. Tonight we're going to look at how God does this in our life, and He does it, first of all, by probing the saint. He probes the saint. There are several things that He does, and I want you to write this down on the inside of your bulletin. He first of all looks at his pride about the flesh. Now remember, Jesus is telling Peter that Satan's going to have a heyday with him. Satan's going to sift him like wheat. And wheat is literally devastated. It's crushed in that process of sifting. And so, God is wanting us to see ourselves as He sees us. And so this is why Jesus is talking to Peter. He tells him the forecast, and then all of a sudden, He starts to probe that saint. And He talks about the pride of his flesh. Look at verse 33 with me, please. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you want to do a work in our lives and that we can meet you each and every day in the quiet times of our heart. Father, we pray that tonight we might see the impact that suffering brings into our lives and the difference that it makes in our lives. Father, Simon was so prideful and there were so many things in his life that needed to change. And Lord, there are so many things in our lives that need to change so that you might be able to use us effectively. We pray tonight, Father, that you would anoint every heart that might hear this message, Father, that we might be able to minister to others and see how you're working not only in our lives, but in others as well. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter says, after Jesus had just told him the worst news that he had ever probably heard, that Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And then Peter says, Lord, I'm willing to go with you all the way to prison, even to death. What a prideful jerk. He was filled full of pride. Even after Jesus told him what was going to happen, he was still filled with pride. How many times do we think that whatever's going on in someone else's life, well, that's beyond us. We're better than that. Hello? Come on. I know myself that I never thought it possible to be fired. No. Not this guy. And if I did, I'd have a job the next day anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's pride. That's pride. Whenever we are taking our eyes off of God and putting our eyes on self, we will always be looking at things to pick us up and to move us beyond other people. We look at other people and go, well, that would never happen to me. I'm too good for that. I have too many checks and balances in my life. Let me tell you how God works. Oh, I don't struggle with pornography or adultery or drugs or alcoholism or any of those things. I got that stuff in check. But what happens is the little stuff that I'm unprepared for. Last Sunday, since we didn't have church, Kathy, and we'd been moving Bobby on Saturday, she didn't have time to go to the grocery store, so I said, hey honey, we got four-wheel drive, let's go to Aldi's and we'll get some shopping done. So we went to Aldi's, got shopping done, and stopped at Steak and Shake on the way home and had lunch and everything, and I said, you buying? She goes, no, you're buying. I went, come on. You know, so we argued a little bit, and I was playing and toying with her, you know, and so we went ahead, and I said, okay, fine, I'll take care of the ticket. So I go up there and I give them my card. They give me this thing. I put my the tip on it and I sign the thing and give it to her. And I go walking out the door like this and I open up the door to hold it for her. And it's like, where did she go? She went back to the tape. Fine. And I go to the Durango. And then she comes out, and I go, what'd you go back to the table for? Well, I wanted to lay a tip. I said, what? Are you kidding me? I put a tip on the check. I said I was taking care of it. I'm sorry. And she said sorry probably 20 times. I never heard it. It's those little things that we're unprepared for. It's pride that wells up within. Are you... That's disrespectful. Gee, would I be looking at God or at self at that point? At self. Peter was being prideful. He thought he was a cut above everyone else. These other monkeys might run away, but I'm Peter. It's not going to happen to me. Why, I'll go to all the way to prison or even unto death for you, Lord. Right. God wanted him to see himself for who he is. And sometimes God has to act in our lives or allow something to take place so that we can truly see ourselves for who we truly are. We can be prideful, amen? We can all take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on self and become filled full of pride. Filled full of ego. That's not what God desires in our lives. So he wanted, first of all, for Peter to see his pride about the flesh. Also, his prayer time before God. I want you... Jesus had told him, well, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But then he took them out to the garden, up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they're going to be arrested. And he says, I want you all to pray. Look at verse 45 with me. And when he rose up from prayer, this is Jesus now coming back to them. And when he had rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He found them sleeping. How many times are we prayerless? I know that I'm guilty of it, even as a pastor, when I get the prayer chain and someone says, well, so-and-so went to the hospital, please keep her in prayer, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so many times I know it, I think it, and I think, you know, the next time I have my prayer time, I'll mention that. What's wrong with that picture? See, that's prayerlessness. Not sensing the urgency at the time. These men, these close men to Christ, he took them all the way and he says, I want you to stay here and pray, and I'm going to go just a little further and pray, but I want you to pray for me. And so he goes and he starts praying and he comes back and they're asleep. I can't believe it. I'm facing death, Jesus is saying, and they're asleep? Why is it we are prayerless at times? Why is it there's no sense of urgency, no sense of direction in our prayers? Why is it we sense that it's a duty that needs to be checked off, and once we get it checked off for the day, we don't need to go back and do it again? Why is it? See, Christ wanted them to see their prayerlessness. How prayerless they actually were. How there was not an urgency in their lives to truly seek God's face on behalf of a friend. I set this pattern up in my life years ago that when I get a prayer chain or when someone says, pray for me, I like to pray with them right then. Dixie Wednesday night came up to me and said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I'm going to Costa Rica. Don't know where we're going to go and what we're going to be doing and everything. I said, let's pray right now. And so I prayed with Dixie right then, so that she would know that I'm praying for her, not just right then, but every day since, that God will use them in a tremendous way. We need to be individuals of prayer. John was known as Old Camel Knees. Why? Because he was on his knees, on his face before God, continually praying on behalf, not only for him, but everyone that he was ministering to. God wanted Peter to see his prayerlessness as he was probing that saint. Thirdly, we need to see the perception about God's will. Look with me in verse 50, please. Verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, in other gospels, we know who that was. That was Peter. We know that the armed guards came up and were looking for Jesus, and Jesus said, I am he. And when they stepped forward, Peter took his sword out and went to whack Malchus and cut off his ear. He missed him. Cut off his ear. And Jesus said, oh, what are you doing, dude? And he picks up the ear and puts it back on Malchus's head. Peter was taking God's will, advantage of that, of God's will. He just thought that since he was walking with Christ and that everything he was doing was ultimately God's will. And sometimes we can be so prideful, we can be so prayerless, that we know that God knows the buttons to push for us to walk a particular direction, that we basically say, well, this must be God's will, because if not, he would have certainly stopped me. That's not the way it works. God will allow us to go down the wrong path so that we have a consequence down there, so that we become more prayerful, less prideful, and we are more concerned about His will. Peter would just do anything at a moment's notice, and he was so spontaneous that he would just draw his sword and whack off Malchus's ear. And Jesus would go, really? And put it back on his head. Sometimes we take God's will for granted. It's like someone that has a need in their life for clothing, and we say, well, be blessed and be clothed, be warm. I'll pray for you. Got it. Sometimes God wants a little skin in the game. Sometimes God wants us to be that individual that ministers to that person that has need in their life. That's why He brought that person to us in the first place. God wanted Peter to see just how for granted he was taking God's will. Sometimes we perceive those things, and we perceive it wrong. We also see that he wanted his path, the path of following. Look at verse 54 with me. So after Jesus was arrested, they came and took him. And in verse 54 it says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Notice this, and Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. How many times do we follow afar off? How many times in the workplace do we have a chance to make an impact or say something positive about Christendom and we decide not to? When I worked at Freeze Harley Davidson, we had a guy that his name was Christian, of all names to have, that was basically an atheist. And he would at times mock me, especially when I was in the lunchroom and there wasn't anybody else around. He'd mock me, but he'd mock me more if there were more people around to get a laugh. And there were times that, you know, I would pick and choose the fight, so to speak. And he was constantly cursing. GD this and GD that and GD this and GD that. And one day I just got fed up with listening to his crap. And that's what it is. I'm sorry, crap is a four-letter word, but you can say that. It's not dirty. Huh? Somebody said, oh, it is. Okay. All right. Well, it's better than the other word. I'm not perfect, okay? So, he's GDing this and GDing that, and I said, Christian, how dare you curse my God? You don't even believe in Him. Through your cursing, you proclaim His existence. And he looked at me and went, yeah, you're right. I said, don't do that. That's not cool. That's not neat. It's not funny. And it offends me. I happened to be on crutches that day because I'd messed up my left knee. I'm not supposed to have crutches in there anyway, but they let me for some reason. Anyway. He made a comment and I said, if you're feeling salty enough, let's do it right now. I dropped my crutches. Sometimes you have to hold people accountable, especially the people of the world, when they make excuses and when they're blaspheming the name of God. God wants warriors that are willing to lead the charge. He wants men and women that He can trust in a position of leadership. Christian knew that I was pastoring. He just did that to get under my skin. And after I said that, you know what? He never did it in my presence again. Because he knew I was serious. I had been mute too long. I had been following from a distance too long. Many of us follow from a distance. We end up having a religion of convenience rather than standing up for what is right. Does that mean we're going to get shot? Yeah, it does. Yeah, and when you do that, you put a big target on yourself. I don't care. I really don't care at this point with that man. We follow sometimes too far away. And because we follow too far away, hear me, we don't have the impact in individuals' lives that we should have. Sometimes it's even individuals in our family that don't take us serious because we follow from such a great distance. Oh, we say one thing, but we follow from a distance. God wanted Peter to see that. And when they took Jesus away, oh, he wanted to see what was going to happen. But he was watching from a great distance so that he wouldn't be involved in it. The last probe that God used was his personal denial of Christ. His personal denial of Christ. Look with me in verse 55, please. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of an hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you're saying." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times." He sat down. He sat down. He'd been following a long ways, and Jesus was there after he was arrested. And Peter was just outside with all the others around a fire. And he sat down. He let down his guard. And what Jesus had said to him previously, while he was yet speaking those words, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, Jesus looked over at Peter like, "Now you see yourself as God sees you." What an indictment. What an indictment. You know, we always believe in our heart of hearts that we'll go the distance for a friend, that we'll go the distance for a teacher or someone that's close to us. We believe in our heart of hearts that we'll go the distance. But when the rubber meets the road, most people will deny it. And that's a shame. Because God is looking for warriors. And yes, women, you can be warriors. God is looking for warriors that are willing to be on the front lines to do what He has called them to do and to allow that suffering to come into their lives so that there is a change in their lives so that He can use us effectively. The last thing that I believe God wants us to see is the purpose of the sifting itself. The purpose of the sifting itself. The purpose of the sifting is to strengthen the sufferers. Look at verse 32 once again of our main text. Verse 32, he says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." There is a strengthening that takes place to the sufferer. Converted. When thou art converted. Do you suppose Peter needed to be saved? No. Do you suppose he was already saved? I believe he was already saved. I don't believe he needed to have a conversion. But what that word means is that he was changed into a more useful commodity. When Kathy and I go on mission trips, one of the last mission trips, we went to Moscow. And we had 17 other pastors that had gone. When we got there, we took our dollars to the exchange center and changed our dollars into rubles. Why? They converted our dollars into rubles. Now, they didn't pray over them. They didn't baptize them. They didn't do any of those things. But see, the rubles were more useful in our hands than the dollars were. When you go to buy something in Moscow, if you've got dollars, yeah, they like the dollars. But they have to go through a whole set of conversion, and you have to figure out what the price is in dollars, and it's just a big headache. It's easier and better if you've already exchanged them or converted them into rubles. And Jesus said, when thou art converted, when you are changed into a more useful commodity. The reason why we need to be changed is the same reason that wheat needs to be changed. See, we cannot use wheat in its raw form. It has to be thrashed. It has to be sifted in order for us to use it, to bake breads and to use it for all sorts of different delicacies like cinnamon rolls. Take note of that. I like cinnamon rolls, okay? Anyway, when wheat is sifted, it becomes more useful in our hands. And when we are converted, when those things in our lives that don't match up with the things that God wants, when those things are taken away, when that sifting process has taken place in our lives, we become more useful in His hands. He wants us to be in such a position of leadership so that when someone comes, He can work through us to minister to that individual. That's why He allows suffering. That's why He allows this sifting process to take place in our lives. And if we know that it's not going to last forever, if we know that the end result is worth the pain and the suffering that we're going through, we can allow Him to do these things in our lives so that we can be more useful in His hands. That's what He's wanting. That's why this church has gone through a sifting process. Because He wants to use this church in a dynamic way. He wants to use this church in a disciplined way, in a divine way, so that He can reach people in this community through this church. That's why He has allowed these things to happen. So that we can be more useful in His hands. But notice what He said. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Faith is the important substance. Faith is the important conduit that God wants us to use. It is our faith that He is going to make something good out of something bad. It's our faith. See, our faith is the vessel that His grace flows through. When Kathy gets a soda, she always gets a straw with that soda. Why? Because the straw is the vessel that the soda flows through. And that's what faith is in our lives. It is the very vessel, the conduit by which God's grace flows to us and through us to others that we're ministering to. That's why when Jesus prayed this prayer, there's never been a prayer that He prayed that went unanswered. He says, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when you have been made into a more useful commodity, strengthen the brethren. Come alongside those that are stumbling. Come alongside those that are having difficulty. Come alongside them and help them in their walk with me. Peter needed to be changed. He had all of these things wrong in his life. When Jesus saw him for the first time, He said, your name is Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter. He saw what he could be someday, but he wasn't Peter yet. Nope, he was still Simon. That's why after 3.5 years, He called him Simon again. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Nail it to your heart. Burn it into your brain. Because that sifting process takes place over and over and over again. As we are trimmed down into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Faith is what Christ prayed for. And that's why when we are individuals of faith, we can go through these trying times and not be destroyed, not be devastated. We can rely upon Him because He is the author and the finisher of our salvation, our faith. I've told the story before, but I think it bears telling again about the little oyster. I don't know that I've told the story of the little oyster here. Have I told the story of the little oyster here? How he sits on the bottom of the sea, and he's sitting there, and all he's doing is flexing his muscles. And as he opens up his shell and closes his shell, that's the only thing he does. When a wave comes by, it might move him to another little spot, but that's all he does, is he just sits there on the bottom of the sea, just opening and closing his shell. And as he opens it up, a little plankton comes in, and as he closes it, the other stuff is excreted out, and he's just sitting there enjoying life. Everything's just great. And all of a sudden, in the process of doing exactly what he's supposed to do in life, just sit there, open and close his shell. In the process of doing that, a little piece of sand comes in and it lodges right there by his tender little body and that hard shell. And every time he opens it and closes it, it's like, ow, that didn't feel ow, that didn't feel good, ow. And every time he opens and closes it, he feels this pain. So you know what the little oyster does? He gets out of that shell and he goes to another shell. No, wait, that's what Baptists do. No, what he does is he starts to secrete this little milky substance that goes around that pain and embraces that pain. And now it feels a little bit better. Wow, that milky substance worked. I think I'll put a little more milky substance on it. And he puts a little more milky substance on it. Boy, that feels a lot better. Oh, wow. That is what I call relief. And so he puts even more little milky stuff on it. And out of that pain, a beautiful pearl is formed. Out of the midst of pain. The reason why that little oyster can do that is because that's the way God made him. He had the ability to produce and make the pearl all along. But he never had the need of doing it until the pain came. See, when the pain came, then he felt the need of secreting that little milky substance. The reason why he can do that is because he possesses something called hupomone. You know what hupomone is? Comes from that's the Greek word for the ability to endure. We have the ability to endure. It's called faith. When we have pain in our lives and we drop to our knees and we begin to spend time with God, time that God really wanted in our lives that we sometimes are void, God says, you know, if it a little pain is what it took to bring you here, then so be it. And then I have to think, if God would allow his son to suffer, to bleed, and to die, to accomplish his purpose, will he not also allow me to suffer to accomplish his purpose? Many times when that suffering comes, we want to run away. And what God is wanting is for us to run to him. Thursday night, we got a little text from our daughter-in-law. It was a picture text of our granddaughter, Kinsley. She had this huge, I'm talking golf ball size, right here on the top of her forehead, right there. Big old black and blue goose egg. She ran headlong into a little boy at recess at school. And I mean, she had a welt on her head that stuck out that far. It was huge. First thing I wanted to do is to drive to Troy and pick her up and hug her and kiss that little welt on her forehead. But I knew she'd be here Friday, and so Friday morning, I could hardly wait for Kinsley to show up at our house. And I said, "Kins, come here, what happened to you?" And she come running over to me and jumped on me, and I held her. I go, let me kiss that thing. And so I kissed her on that and there, all over. I just peppered her with kisses. That's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to run to His arms. He wants us to spend time with Him, not to get our prayers answered, but to spend time with Him because of who He is, because He knows that Satan is trying to oppose us and to hold us back from being close with Him. And we have been disciplined and pruned, and now we're trying to abide, and we just can't do it. And there are things coming against us. He wants us to run to His arms. He wants us to come to Him with our needs. I pray tonight that God has spoken to every heart that is here, because it's important that you were here to hear this, because God is going to use you in a tremendous way this week. Mark it down. Write it down. Somebody's going to come to you with a need in their life, and if you have nothing to set before them, let me tell you something. Satan will have a garbage can full of garbage can bread to give them. God wants to use us. And God wants us to be that vessel that He is able to work through to reach others, to have an encouraging word for them. That's why it's a call to suffering. Because when we truly see the purpose behind all of it, we can look to Him and say, yes, Lord, I see that now in my life. Yes, Lord, I want You to take that out of my life so that I am more like Christ. And when He does that, He is able to work through you to reach others in a way He's never been able to before. That's the call to suffering. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You for these that have come. We pray tonight, Father, that every heart has been touched. Whatever sifting process may be going through their lives or in the lives of their family members, Father, burn this scripture into our brains. Let us have this printed on our hearts, that we would be able to go back to it over and over and over again, so that we can truly see how You work not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. We pray, Father, that this week that You would give each and every one wisdom as they minister to those that You put in their path. And we thank You and praise You for what You're going to do through us this week. We pray that You'll dismiss us with Your grace and mercy now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.